So getting back to this poster that you presented with this nomogram and also your general clinical experience, you know, sort of taking a step back in terms of the science of it, but more from the point of view of the doc in practice. So I guess my question to you is, based on this work that you did, as well as your own experience, when you're about to start somebody on NABGEM, whether neoadjuvant or metastatic disease, you know, in a good performance status, well, just say if you're going to start it, first of all, globally, in your mind, what do you think the chances the patient's going to benefit, you know, clinically? You know, from your point of view, you really feel like something happened that helped the patient. And is there anything, you know, I see you looked at all these factors that you looked at. Some of them were kind of interesting, neutrophil to lymphocyte ratio. But from a practical point of view, is there anything to look at, you know, performance status that'll help you sort of shade that prediction a little bit?
We were interested in looking at the survival of different groups in a clinical trial. When you look at phase 3 pancreatic cancer studies for metastatic disease, it's striking that there's almost a 20% mortality in the first 3 to 4 months after patients enter a clinical trial. That's not really seen in breast cancer or any other tumor type. Almost always, 30% of patients, unfortunately, have rapid progressive disease. They don't respond, and they pass away in the first 3 to 4 months. So you see a rapid drop-off.
And this is, and you think about it, these are people who are going into trials.
Right.
So they're probably considerably better shaped than the average patient.
Exactly. So these people meet eligibility criteria, and the investigator is confident that they have a 6-month survival, but they don't make it past 3 months. And we see this in practice. When you look at Medicare and SEER data, 30% of all metastatic pancreatic cancer patients never get chemotherapy or never even see an oncologist because their performance status declines rapidly, that they go straight to hospice. So we were interested in looking at some simple criteria. The nomogram does predict, it's not perfect, but there are 3 groups, poor, intermediate, and good prognosis. Because on the other hand, we do see patients now make it past 18 months and 2 years, so there's a group, and it's difficult to predict from the very beginning. I think in practice, performance status is obviously still number one. ECOG, we know that somebody with ECOG 3 who's bedbound, doesn't leave the house, unfortunately has a few months survival. So the way I pick a regimen in practice is age and performance status primarily. CA19-9 baseline level is somebody who has a CA19-9 level of more than 5,000 or even 1,000, but 5,000 or more in a recent study was shown to be, unfortunately, a very poor prognostic factor. Those patients don't tend to do well. So, but primarily, it's age and performance status. In my practice, patients under 65, performance status of 0 or 1, I generally go with FOLFIRINOX, unless I have a clinical trial. I'm certainly comfortable randomizing all patients to GEM, nab-paclitaxel, plus or minus a new agent. So younger patients in our practice get FOLFIRINOX, whether it's preoperative or metastatic disease. So I think it breaks down to 20 to 30% in our practice would get FOLFIRINOX, 50 to 60% will get GEM, nab-paclitaxel. Increasingly, very few patients get single-agent gemcitabine. I think it's safe to give GEM, nab-paclitaxel, perhaps at a reduced dose or even every 2-week regimen. So single-agent gemcitabine, unfortunately, doesn't do much. Increasingly, we don't use it.